Our first speaker after the break is Andrew Kessler from University of Minnesota. Title of the presentation is Quantifying Riverbank Erosion with LIDAR in Blue Earth County, Minnesota. Andrew.
Well, thank you for that introduction. Am I all right on the mic? I'm a little elevated, lots of good. All right. And as Cecil mentioned, I'm here to present a project where we use 2 years of LIDAR data to quantify riverbank erosion in Blue Earth County, Minnesota. We had a LIDAR data scan from 2005 and 2009. And the reason we're doing this research is because other research indicated that sediment infilling on Lake Pepin, pictured here, had increased by tenfold since settlement in 1850. Now, Lake Pepin is a naturally occurring lake on the Mississippi River. It's about 80 kilometers southeast of St. Paul, and it borders Minnesota and Wisconsin. Additional research went on to show that 80 to 90% of the sediment reaching Lake Pepin was coming from the Minnesota River, while only 25% of the flow was coming from the Minnesota River. And within the Minnesota River Basin is the greater Blue Earth River Basin. That contributes about over half of the sediment in the Minnesota River and just under half the flow. Now, the greater Blue Earth River Basin is a relatively flat area, with 54% of the landscape having less than 2% slope and 93% of the landscape having less than 6% slope. Both of these watersheds are primarily agricultural watersheds. The Minnesota River Basin has about 63% row crop agriculture, and the greater Blue Earth River Basin has about 79% row crop agriculture, and that's based on 2008 statistics. And there's several rivers within the greater Blue Earth River Basin. Now, there's three potential sources of sediment within both the Minnesota and greater Blue Earth River Basin that are producing sediments reaching Lake Pepin. They are fields, ravines, and riverbanks. Somewhat unique to the greater Blue Earth River Basin is the occurrence of really tall bluffs. I have one of my co-authors, Satish Gupta, standing here beneath the bank. He's about 5 feet 8 inches tall. And you can tell that he's completely dwarfed by this massive bluff. Another thing worth noticing on this bluff is that it's completely bare of vegetation on its face, which is a pretty good indication that it's eroding. Now, we weren't the first people to try to investigate this, and I really appreciated Cecil's comments on uncertainty in his introduction, because a lot of the work that has been done likely has a high degree of uncertainty in its results, because what these researchers at the top here did is went out and took measurements on a few riverbanks and bluffs and extrapolated those results to the entire extent of the river channel. So between those few banks and the entire extent of the river channel, there's likely a high degree of uncertainty in what they're measuring. In addition, similar things have been done in other watersheds. And the reason we hypothesize that there's a high degree of uncertainty in their calculations is because there's a number of mechanisms that drive erosion in the greater Blue Earth River Basin. I have a laundry list here, but the one I'm going to focus on in my introduction here is seepage. Now, what seepage-driven erosion is water enters into a subsurface layer of the upland soils, hits an impermeable layer, and then flows towards the surface of a riverbank, at which point it exits the riverbank. And it can cause sediment erosion, similar to what's pictured in this picture. And now, this picture really doesn't do this erosion event justice. This bank is about 30 meters tall, so about 100 feet. And this erosion, this isn't coming off the top. This is actually 5 meters down from the top of the bank. So the water flowing through the subsurface hits the side of the riverbank and produces a sediment flow like this right down into the river. Now, you may be asking, why would this happen on the side of a riverbank? A lot of banks on rivers are fairly stable and hard. We actually set a little demonstration up in the lab to investigate this. And what we did is we took a soil clod from one of our riverbank samples, set it in a tray of water. This is just a centimeter of water. Didn't do anything to it after that other than watch it and take pictures every couple of minutes. I'm going to click through these sides pretty quickly. But as you see, over the course of 22 minutes, I just skipped it. Of course, at 22 minutes, it just turned to soup, just sitting in the centimeter water. And what this indicates that once these soils are exposed to water, they don't have any strength, which is why you can see events like I had pictured on the earlier slide where subsurface seeps hit the riverbank and just push the material down the side of the bank. So if there is a high degree of uncertainty in extrapolating a few bank measurements to the entire extent of a river channel, what's the alternative? Well, in 2005, Toma and others did a study where they used airborne LIDAR data to quantify the entire extent of a river channel, the riverbank erosion from the entire extent of a river channel. And what they did is they took a scan in 2001 and 2002, differenced the scans, and then estimated how much volume loss there was on the riverbanks. And what they found for just the 56-kilometer portion of the river was that 23 to 56% of the sediment in all of the Blue Earth River was coming from the banks in that 56-kilometer portion. And many of you are probably familiar with what airborne LIDAR is, so I'm just going to briefly go over how the technology works. What you do is you mount an airborne laser LIDAR system on the underbelly of an aircraft. That aircraft then flies passes back and forth across the landscape, all the while shooting down thousands of laser pulses every second. For each laser pulse that leaves the aircraft, the travel time is recorded for the time it takes that laser to go down, strike the Earth's surface, and come back up to the aircraft. Between that travel time and an onboard GPS unit that lets the aircraft know where it is in space, the LIDAR system can resolve where the Earth's surface is. So what we planned to do for our study was expand on the work done by Toma and others in 2005. And quantify the riverbank erosion for the entire Blue Earth County, for the rivers in Blue Earth County. And in addition, determine what portion of that sediment was coming from those tall bluffs I showed pictured earlier, or relatively smaller banks. And then as a final note, we also wanted to determine, using the entire extent of the river channel, if extrapolations were appropriate in this area. So as I mentioned, and I showed earlier in the presentation, a picture of the greater Blue Earth River Basin. Our study area was just Blue Earth County. So the numbers I show today are just for the extent of the river channels within Blue Earth County. So they're going to be a little conservative because the rivers all extend beyond Blue Earth County. And here I have a little sample calculation just to demonstrate our methods. The first thing we do is we go out and identify the top of the bank on either side of the river channel. We then have to subtract off the area where the river channel is, or the high water mark. The reason we have to do this is because the laser we used in our LIDAR system was in the near-infrared portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. The near-infrared portion of the electromagnetic spectrum cannot penetrate the water surface. So essentially, the lasers can't see beneath the water. So we have to subtract off anything beneath our high water mark, which was in 2005. Then we take the difference between our 2005 digital elevation model and our 2009 digital elevation model to get a change in elevation for all of our riverbank areas. We can then multiply that times the area of the riverbank to arrive at a net volume calculation. We can then run some soils analysis to convert that net volume change into a total mass wasting. And then based on the assumption that the silt and clay portion of our sediments travel downriver and the sands settle out in the river channel, we can multiply the percent fines or silt and clay times our mass wasting and arrive at the fine sediment loss that travels down the river channel. And just a little bit of a tidbit here. This is actually a massive river bank. It's about 60 meters high, so about 200 feet. The top of the bank sits back about 30 meters from its base. And if you were to just try to climb up the side of it, it's about 300 feet long. So it's a pretty massive river bank. And it generated 7% of the total volume loss we calculated for the entire Le Sueur River. So getting into the results. And I have the numbers up here, and this can be a little bit misleading. The Blue Earth River did by far have the most volume loss. However, if you look at the table in the top right corner here, we also analyzed the longer length of the Blue Earth River than any of the other rivers. So if we were able to get data for the entire extent of all the rivers, these numbers might be a little different. And if you add all these up, it comes out to just below 1.4 million cubic meters of volume loss between 2005 and 2009. We can then separate that out and look at how much of that volume loss was coming from the taller bluffs versus the smaller banks. And what you see when you do that is that 75% of that volume loss was coming from the large bluff features, although they only occupied about a third of the length of the river channel. So a very small portion of the river is disproportionately contributing to the sediment loads in the river. Then we can run our soils analysis and get our information we need to convert from our volume estimates to mass wasting and then to the amount of fine sediment that travels downriver. And now the reason I have these rivers separated out like this is because the Blue Earth River, the Wan River, and Perch Creek all merge before a water USGS gauge at the mouth of the Blue Earth River. The Le Sueur, Maple, Big Cobb, and Little Cobb Rivers all merge before a gauge at the mouth of the Le Sueur River. So our fine sediment moving downriver from our riverbank erosion estimates were compared to the TSS readings at the USGS gauges on these rivers. And what we found is that some 63% of the sediments at the mouth of the Blue Earth River were coming from riverbank erosion, whereas 79% of the sediments measured at the Le Sueur River, or 79% of the TSS reading at the Le Sueur River gauge was coming from riverbank erosion in the Le Sueur River watershed. So by far, riverbank erosion was the dominant source of sediment in these rivers. And here's my final results slide. And this is what we did to determine if metrics from limited samples could be used to extrapolate volume loss to the entire extent of the river channel. And what we did is we took 357 of our banks, took a couple of the common metrics that have been used to extrapolate, bank surface area and bank length, and we also ran a couple additional ones, bank height and average bank slope. And we compared those to the volume loss for each of the river banks. And what we found is there's really a weak correlation between any of the metrics that could be used to extrapolate volume loss and what the actual volume loss was according to our LIDAR data differencing. So the kind of takeaway message here is that there is likely a high degree of uncertainty, at least in the greater Blue Earth River Basin, from taking limited bank samples and extrapolating to the entire extent of a river channel. So to wrap things up here, bank erosion was by far the largest source of sediment, with about 63% of the sediments in the Blue Earth River and 79% of the sediments in the Le Sueur coming from bank erosion. And this number, if you remember what I said earlier, I said just under 1.4 million cubic meters of material. We also ran this analysis for the Minnesota River, which, if you remember, way back to the beginning, comes across the northern portion of Blue Earth County. When you incorporate the erosion from the Minnesota River into our totals, it gets up to 1.7 million cubic meters. The reason I didn't incorporate the Minnesota River earlier in the calculations was because we did not have a gauge in order to get at a percent contribution at the gauge, like the numbers I show here. And bluffs contributed the bulk of material with 75%, even though they only occupied one-third of the river channel. And limited bank erosion measurements cannot be used in the greater Blue Earth River Basin to extrapolate to the entire length of the river channel. And a number of acknowledgments here. And if anyone's interested in more details, we did run more analysis than what I presented here today, but I tried to focus on a couple broad points because of time limitations. We do have a paper based on this research accepted in JEQ, and it should hopefully be dropping sometime in 2012. And this is one of the banks we've visited quite often. We nicknamed this Little El Capitan. It's kind of a unique feature. This is the only time we've seen anything like this. The first time we went out to see it was in June of 2010. We actually had a Toma, the author of the 2005 article, came out to visit these banks with us. And we brought them out in September, and we were really excited to show them this thing. But it already collapsed, so we're a little disappointed. And with that, if I have time, take any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? We have about 2 minutes for questions.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of green landscapes in the Northwest where the rivers have been channelized. In my lifetime, I've watched these rivers change, and the bank erosion happening, and the benches of these channels slowly change. They're not quite the scale of this landscape that you're talking about.
Yep. So other landscapes within the Minnesota River Basin that may...
No, anywhere else. What do you think is the smallest amount? What do you think is the resolution limits of the LIDAR data?
That's actually a great question because we're talking about uncertainty, and I didn't think I'd have time to get over this, so I skipped it. So we ran a number of accuracy assessments on this data, sensitivity and uncertainty analysis, and that information will all be in the JEQ paper. What we found for our steep terrain was about plus or minus 18 centimeters, which may be a little optimistic. The kind of general rule of thumb when you use 2 years of LIDAR data is to take the accuracy of each one, add them together, and that's about where you're going to be. So you usually get accuracy reported of about plus or minus 15 centimeters on a LiDAR scan. So if you have two of them, you're probably guessing at about plus or minus 30 centimeters. So if you're looking at really fine scale changes, you might have a hard time. The reason we were successful here is because there really are mass failures. It's huge amounts of material coming out of the riverbanks.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Thanks a lot.